I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is North South.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. We are recording North and South with co-host Los Angeles Times, Dylan Hernandez. You back from Asia yet? Last time we talked, I know you were still kind of asleep when we talked last time, a little emergency podcast. You got some rest? You got some jet lag?
I slept 15 hours last night.
Good.
I slept through everything. My phone was pinging all night. Sorry to my coworkers that I didn't return any text messages yesterday.
FBI was trying to reach. Yeah, you were the focus.
I'm a new man right now, man. 15 hours of sleep.
You look good.
That.
You look a lot better than you did.
I feel great.
You're a lot better than you did in your Seoul hotel room at whatever that was, 3:30 in the morning your time. But we banged that thing out. A lot of people listened to it. I'm glad. Of course, we're still on. We're the North and South podcast. We are the Shohei Ohtani. Weird things, conversational podcast. I'm proud of that. That's what we are now. Okay, Ohtani had his statement. It certainly wasn't a press conference the other day, saying that he had knew nothing about Ippe Mizuhara's gambling. He did not give him, the money himself. It was a theft. I don't know if he said those words, but it was in the course of that. I thought it was a pretty passionate statement. Obviously, it left many, many questions unanswered. Many other people have asked them. Interestingly, I was at the Giants-A's exhibition game last night, and there were a few thoughts expressed to me from different people there, just kind of wondering, no accusations, just kind of wondering about all the things that are left unanswered. Dylan, you were there. You heard it in the, you understand the Japanese. I don't know if it was translated well. It seemed to be translated well to me. What you know, you've been at many of these Ohtani situations, certainly none like this. What did you think of him? What did you think of that statement? And how do you think this all unfolds in the next few weeks?
Yeah, he was very direct. He spoke very clearly. There was kind of no hesitation in his voice. He went in, however you want to look at that. There were obviously a couple of like major kind of questions that were left unanswered, which I kind of find interesting given the fact that, again, he's very kind of aware of like things, right? Like he's usually, even if he might not, and who knows what he reads, what he doesn't, but he always kind of seems to have his pulse on kind of like what's going on and like what people want to hear. And obviously, even going into this thing, I think the questions were, how did Ippe Mizuhara get his access to his bank account? One. And two, You know, let's even say, okay, whatever, he was granted access and all that. How was he able to move that sum of money without that being flagged? Right. And so
nine times. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Those things went unanswered, you know, and I'm sure he understood that people wanted questions to those answers. He didn't answer them, obviously didn't take any questions, you know, which kind of led me to actually think like, you know, okay, well, so what was kind of the purpose of all this? Right. And I think, you know, say the day before, you know, somebody like me, right, I haven't covered a freeway series in I don't know how long, right? It's the kind of final exhibition series before the start of the regular season. Usually, you know, beat people, take it off. Columnists don't show up to this thing because they're kind of nothing games. You know, I had to be there in case he talked, right, for the first game of that freeway series against the Angels. And, you know, I think that there was, right, there were a lot of people there waiting just for that. And part of me kind of wonders, okay, like, let me at least like address this now to kind of clear that room, right? You know, as much as, you know, the Dodgers were kind of talking at the beginning of spring about how many people, how many media people were in their clubhouse and kind of invading their, you know, according to them, invading their space and stuff. I think everybody understood that this was kind of positive attention, right? I mean, the reason there were so many people there was because there was interest in the Dodgers, that, you know, this team that was already a 100-win team just added the best guy in baseball. Like, where is this going to go? And it was kind of it had like a positive feel there, even if it might have been a little crowded, you know, and obviously that has switched since, you know, the scandal is, you know, broken, and, you know, the air in the room is kind of a little bit more negative, you know, you would say, right? And so maybe he just kind of understood, okay, well, you know what, let me just kind of address this to at least clear the room of that type of error. I've addressed this. I'll say, hey, I've answered as much as this is the limits of what I can say. And, you know, like theoretically, if you were to talk after opening day, even, right? I mean, I think the whole nature of these questions, right? If you know, after opening day on Thursday, there are going to be questions asked to a lot of guys. And I'm guessing it's going to be mostly focused around baseball because, again, he spoke out, right? He said at least enough, I think, you know, which was already more probably than a lot of us were expecting, you know, because I think from like at least an American vantage point, you know, when something like this happens, you would expect him to kind of say like, hey, like, I'm sorry, there are ongoing investigations. You know, I can't really say much. I think that would kind of be the standard thing. And so, you know, in some ways he probably said more than I think a lot of people were expecting. And he's kind of hoping that, again, that will temporarily kind of clear the clubhouse of this, you know, dark cloud that's kind of hanging over it, even though, you know, it might have kind of blown off to the side a little bit. It's still there, but at least it's not hovering directly over them maybe right now.
Yeah, he said what he was going to say, right? I mean, I think that's the general sense. That's what he's going to say today, tomorrow, the next day, you know, so you don't have to keep saying, what's your first response going to be? While one little thing I was struck by, maybe you weren't surprised at all by this, having been to so many Otani pressers, is as his answer is being translated by his new translator, we can say that Will Ayrton, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Ayrton, yeah.
Who I thought did a very good job, and he's a seasoned, experienced guy at it. When he was coming to the end of each translation, Otani knew when the end was. He didn't have to wait to see, did you just finish? So he does understand some English. There's no question, right? He understands at least the rhythm of it. He understood when he was coming to the end of the translation because there wasn't a beat. It was da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I did not do this. And then he started the next answer in Japanese or next statement in Japanese. I thought that was interesting because another thing I was struck by in the statement was that him saying he didn't know what was going on. Now, whether we really believe him or not on this, even through that second game, because we all saw the shots of him talking to Ipe in the dugout, like towards the end of that game. Then the story is they went into the clubhouse and that's when, you know, Mark Waller speaks, whatever, and Ipe tells the team. But then Otani says, I understood some of what he was saying. That you understand, like, his connection to this team was Ipe, right? He did not understand what was being said. And if Ipe is speaking in English to the team, Otani doesn't understand all of it. And again, it's a practical thing, but it does tell you if all this is even, you know, 80% true, the isolation he must feel without Ipe around him. And this, whatever he was, close friend, whatever he was, translator, business partner, driver, all these things we're talking about, water carrier, like he must feel amazingly isolated without him. He must feel like that connection. So how does that get replaced? Let's just say he's mostly cleared, or whatever explanation he gives kind of like isn't connected to him. This is an Ipe thing. Let's just say that. He doesn't have him anymore, Dylan. So, and this is a guy that, what I've heard this, like he was the only person that was with Ohtani on his free agent negotiations. And Yamamoto comes in with cars of people, you know, all these entourage, as many free agents do. And Ohtani was with one guy, Ipe. That was his guy. And so Ipe could have translated things differently, right? There was no way to know what he was telling. It's like going in with Putin. If you're just there with Putin's translator, you don't know 100% sure what he's saying to Putin. Not comparing Putin to Ohtani, by the way. But where does Ohtani go without this guy who was his lifeline in America? His wife isn't around him, right? It's like, who's there with him in the room when things have to be decided? I don't know. I don't know that you have an answer to it, but what kind of loss is this to Ohtani?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ohtani's talked about this briefly, you know, over the years, just how he's not a very trusting person, you know. You know, there was kind of this Disney, documentary. It was kind of a real, like, propaganda piece. It felt like that they aired last year. But, you know, one of the, to me, the most interesting part of that whole thing was, you know, there was a segment where he was kind of like, he wanted to ask questions of the teams that he played for, right? So the Nippon Ham Fighters and the Angels. And, you know, to Nippon Ham, he was kind of like, yeah, you know, did you really think I could play both ways? Or was this something you were just telling me, right? Like, look, at the end of the day, I got what I wanted, you know. But at the same time, I was always curious if the team actually believed that I could play both ways, or if they just said that so they could sign me, you know. With the Angels, you know, I think he had always kind of harbored suspicions that, you know, when they told him, hey, you're going to play every day, that wasn't them believing in the fact that he could play every day. He thought that they were trying to make him quit either pitching or hitting, right? Just kind of put up or shut up type. You know, if you can't do it every day, you have to quit one. And so this isn't somebody who trusts very many people, obviously, you know? And yeah, that was, like you said, that was the one guy he did trust, you know? And so now he is, like, you're right. I think he's extremely isolated, you know? And I think if you kind of even, you know, kind of look back at, like, I mean, the agency, right? I mean, I've always had problems, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this the last time we talked because it was 3 a.m. and my, you know, brain was scrambled eggs, whatever. But one issue that I've always kind of had with a lot of American, you know, organizations, whether it be newsrooms, frankly, or baseball teams, or right, is that they don't, you know, I mean, look, if I'm CAA and my best client, my biggest client is a Japanese guy, I'm going to have some people, I would personally like make sure to have some people in place around, right, that speak the language, yep, understand the culture. Here, there was kind of none of that, right? They did the bare minimum. They got him one guy, you know, and we're just going to communicate through that guy. And well, eventually, you know, he'll come to understand our way. He'll learn how to speak God's language, which is English, of course, you know, and, right? You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, that's, you know, and that's like a very like American attitude, right? Is yep, that like, yep, well, we know better, you know, we know. Right. And I think we, you know, conflate a lot of times our military prowess with intelligence, which I don't think is very smart a lot of, you know, because I mean, frankly, like, look, like I've done education in a way like in both sides, like one, I'll just have to tell you, like one is a lot higher than the other, you know, one school felt a lot easier to me than the other one, you know, and but
I think it's, you know, financial. It's financial.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, and so like
financial.
Yeah. But like they don't, you know, have this, you know, they put him in a place where, again, like he just had like one guy. Right. And there wasn't. And even they're like little subtleties, too, in terms of like, you know, like I think Ohtani, frankly, would have had trouble if he had like a very Japanese person, you know, like Ippei Mizuhara. Again, it's interesting. Right. He, you know, was born in Japan. Did a lot of his schooling here, though, right? Mm-hmm. His formative years were spent here. It was probably kind of just the right balance culturally for him, right? Japanese enough, but not too Japanese, and kind of being able to like read like what type of person would Ohtani kind of get along with. You know, my suspicion is if they bring somebody, again, you know, like too American also to try to replace Ippei, that's not going to work, you know, because the guy's it's going to feel too alien. And who's in, you know, who's in position to make that determination for them, right? I mean, I don't think the Dodgers understand this. I don't think CAA understands this. And I think you're right. He's going to be very isolated now. Now, you know, I think he's probably been very isolated from the time he's been very young because of just, you know, right? Just his talent has isolated him in a way. He's always tried to do things other people, you know, didn't think he could do and really kind of put himself, again, going back to when he was 18, you know, most people in Japan, even like when he was even trying to do this, the overwhelming, you know, Japanese society was kind of looking at him like, hey, man, you're underestimating Japanese baseball. This was not positively taken, you know? And so I think this is somebody who's used to being alone, kind of. And what I've seen just from him is, you know, every time his back's against the wall, right? The two times like he blew out his elbow, like he homered like twice the next day or the next game, you know? This is somebody who's like nails, right? This is Barry, you know, and you cover Barry Bonds, you know, not to compare him and Bonds personality wise, but in terms of just kind of that mental strength to be able to channel everything into the job to do on the field. To me, this guy's Barry Bonds. He's Michael Jordan. He's Tiger Woods. So I don't think it's going to affect him there, but you're right. You know, I do kind of wonder just kind of on a day-to-day thing. I mean, he is married now though. So maybe, that kind of helps get off the burden.
Can she move here? Can she move here?
She has moved here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I mean, she was obviously on the trip with him to Korea, mm-hmm. you know, and he kind of felt comfortable enough to kind of put her out there. So, yeah, I think, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm not expecting too much to go bad on the field. You know, I think if it does, it's going to be more from the standpoint that he's playing in a new league, unfamiliar pitchers. He's never been a great April player, you know. June and July, if you kind of look historically, are his months. I'm going to guess that that's going to continue to be the case here. But yeah, but you are right. He's kind of been kind of cut off. And, you know, maybe this could turn into like a good thing. You know, Dave Roberts came out and said yesterday, I mean, talk about, you know, throwing the guy under the bus and then running backwards over him. But, you know, Roberts came out yesterday and said, hey, this is going to be good for us, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, because if anything, Ippei kind of served as too much like of a buffer, right?
Yep.
And all of our communication was through him. Now we can talk to the guy directly, and maybe it'll help him integrate him more into the team. And, you know, guys, you know, and again, like not that Darvish was never quite as private as Ohtani, but like one thing, you know, Darvish kind of talked about was when he came to the Dodgers up until that point, again, he was a high school prodigy. You know, he goes to Nippon Ham, he gets drafted. This kid's different than everybody else, right? So already he's making a lot more money than a lot of guys. He was isolated there, you know? He comes over here to play for the Rangers, isolated because of the language in part, you know, the customs. And, you know, Darvish told me about how, like, hey, like, you know what? Actually, first day I was with the Dodgers, I'm at the dining table eating by myself because I'm used to eating by myself. And I think it was like Justin Turner just came and sat with him, mm-hmm. you know? And next thing you know, he was actually able to have normal interactions with people that are commonplace for every other player. And he found that, like, you know what? This is great. You know, because Darvish was telling me he was losing his passion for the game. I don't think Ohtani's had this problem, but how Darvish said, I was losing my passion for the game. I was even thinking about retiring because it wasn't fun anymore. And all of a sudden I realized, like, hey, you know what? I get to be part of a team, you know? And if you look at Darvish now on the Padres, and kind of the leadership role he's taken there, right? And he's kind of been the guy, right? A couple of new Korean players came in, a new Japanese guy came in, and he was kind of like, it sounded like a one-man welcoming party to this yep. guy, you know? And so maybe this is, you know, in the long term, maybe this is a good thing, right? Maybe Ohtani will kind of understand, like, hey, you know what? I don't have to be on an island by myself, and I can be part of a team and be just as successful and maybe even have more fun. So, We'll see how this goes. It can go certainly in a 100 different ways at this point.
Well, two things. One thing that was brought up that he probably does understand, at least certainly terms of English. He could communicate a little bit in English. I would imagine maybe in Spanish too. He doesn't need someone to bring him around and speak to every single person for him. I think, the baseball is certainly a universal part about it, but I do think he does understand some things and can communicate certain things in Spanish and in English. And the other thing is, maybe this is what I'm hearing lately, is that Ipe was kind of his advisor. He definitely had the fact that he brought him and only him to these negotiations. I don't know if it was every team, but I think it was with every team. Leads me to believe that he was advising him. Wasn't just his interpreter. He was his friend and advisor. Maybe that's good. Maybe he needs to have other people who he can rely on and he trusts and he brings into, and he will have a hard time, I imagine, trusting all of them. But listen, he had one person and he did a terrible job picking that person, and he's probably going to do a better job, anybody better than someone who cost him, theoretically $4.5 million and put his name on an illegal gambling investigation. But I guess, I don't know that you knew Ipe that well, but do you think he was like an advisor for Ohtani, that he was like in some way driving some of this career?
Oh, for sure. And I'll say this, right? I mean, over the years, having covered Japanese players and having gotten close to some of them, even the times I got close to them were for me to be is when they needed me to basically be a cultural interpreter for them, right? When they didn't understand, why is that teammate mad at that teammate, right? Mm-hmm. Or why did the GM come out and say this? Everybody seems upset today, right? Like, what's going on, right? And again, we kind of forget just fundamentally how different these businesses are. I think I mentioned this last time too, but, in Japan, the parent company, right? Again, these would not be the Los Angeles Dodgers in Japan. It'd be the Guggenheim Dodgers. And the Dodgers would exist strictly to promote Guggenheim. So, yes, baseball is part of a business, but it's not the business, right? Which is the difference here. Like, these teams are operated like as a business, and just kind of the effects of that, right? Just fundamentally, the way people view the game is so different, I think, because of that fundamental thing, right? I mean, again, even something like talking to the media, right, is viewed, I think, in our country as like, hey, you have an obligation to sell this game because this is our core business. It's not just to play well and, kind of indirectly, enhance the image of the Yakult, probiotic drink brand, right? This is, you're supposed to sell this game. And so, again, I think that there are a lot of things because of that fundamental difference, and kind of when you kind of take that out and, play it out over, through different things, it's just the view of things is just so different. And the guys over there, even though to us might seem like things that are common sense here, they just can't understand, And frankly, if you drop us into, a lot of times in a Japanese baseball setting, and again, I just spent the week over there recently, there were things even that I didn't quite understand, right? Why is this, whatever? And I talked to the writers and they kind of explained it to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, from that vantage point, that makes sense, So again, I found that, again, just in my experience, anytime I've gotten kind of to know these guys, again, Yu Darvish, actually while he was here, we weren't super close. We got close because there was that sign stealing thing with the Astros. He had something that he wanted to communicate to the fans of Los Angeles, right? And he needed me for that, right? And so again, that to me is probably even the bigger part than just the words, is explaining where am I, right? And so yeah, absolutely. The fact that Ipe was his only guy, he was reliant, the way he viewed the world that he was in right here was entirely through the prism of Ipe Mizuhara. And so, yeah, that's a huge thing. And again, finding somebody to replace that is going to be difficult, I think, and if not impossible at this point, because he's not going to trust anybody. He was already somebody who didn't trust anybody to begin with. But you know what? Maybe it's time for him to kind of figure things out on his own, right? He's been here long enough. He may not understand everything about the language, but, he understands enough. I think he's observant. I think he, again, based on the way his Japanese is in terms of the strength of his diction, how quick-witted he is, I think that this is somebody who's very intellectually capable. And, again, I get this idea of, you know, right? I just want to do my job and not really focus on anything, you know. I mean, to be honest, right? Like, I'm terrible at most things in my life, right? That are, you know, if I don't want to have to deal with it, I'll tell my wife to deal with it just because I don't want to. So I kind of understand that idea of just want to focus on my work. But yeah, you know, I think it's definitely going to be kind of this new era for him of sorts in terms of, again, because he's lost that guy.
Yeah, I'll just say that, you know, the simplest thing, the way to look at this to me, and I've been criticized by some of my friends who are rightly skeptical journalists when I pose this to them, is that the first story is true. The first one Ipe told to ESPN, that he accrued these gambling debts. He went to Ohtani as a friend. Now, whether he was able to get these loan, you know, this credit line from the illegal gambler because he was Ohtani's friend, or because Ohtani in some way was some kind of backing for this, we're not going to know at this point. But that Ohtani came to him or helped him out and paid these debts for him in a very naive way, in a way that allowed his name to be on the account that sent the money to the illegal bookmaker that the, you know, the authorities saw. That's how this started, that he was grossly negligent in a lot of different ways, but not part of a gambling operation. And then the handlers screwed it up by trying to change it again, you know, putting Mizuhara out there to admit that, then realizing maybe that's not what they wanted to admit, and then trying to change it. So there's a lie there. There's a lie somewhere. And now Ohtani's involved in a lie, a terrible PR lie. One of those two things was a lie. And they're claiming it's the first one. I think the second one is the lie. If that's all true, Ohtani could be in some trouble. There's some tax issues with that. There's some, you know, just problematic judgment issues with that. But I do think that is, he will be, you know, criticized for it, and he will be made fun of for it, where he's just so naive that he just handed over $4.5 million to a friend who turned out to be incredibly untrustworthy, or however this worked. But I do think that is the simplest way to look at this, and to me, the likeliest thing given. And that means Ohtani lied in the statement too, right? That means he lied. So that will come back to him. And there could be, you know, and this issue that they, you know, they claim, Ohtani's new spokespeople, whoever, said that they've gone to the authorities on this massive theft, and ESPN's trying to get them to say, what authority did you report this to? And they won't say. So it just could be this weird lie cover up of him being a friend and paying off this guy's debt. The whole thing I just said, do you think that is the simplest solution to this, simplest answer? And then what are, if you do agree, what are the problems from there?
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think, frankly, everything's on the table at this point, right? We just can't, you know, again, the story he's given is kind of, right, parts of it are plausible, you know.
Well, which
again,
story? Well, which story?
Right. Well, the story that's out right now that he just had no clue, right? Yeah. Like, that is, right, not now the, again, exactly how this money got moved without him noticing is kind of a problematic element to it. But, like, it's not entirely implausible. You know, I think, you know, and this kind of goes back, though, to, you know, I think something we've talked about just in terms of, like, him and his privacy, right? And his kind of not letting anybody in. I mean, this isn't just, like, the media not knowing who Shohei Ohtani is. Like, I mean, his teammates don't know who he is, right? Like, nobody, as much as, you know, people around are saying, like, he couldn't do this, nobody can say that with any certainty. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew he even had a girlfriend, right? I mean, that hit everybody by surprise. And so, you know, look, at this, look, in my, now, again, this image of, like, kind of the naive, right, you know, kind of overgrown baseball-loving boy. Look, I haven't seen, here's the thing, in his defense, I've never seen anything to the to contradict that, right? I mean, even last year, you know, I was, you know, as you can imagine, I tend to be a little bit skeptical, you know, and for the last few years, we've been asking Ohtani,
What about free agency? Are you going to leave the Angels? Do you want to leave the Angels? Do you want to, right? Every possible opportunity that I had, I slid a question like that in. When they played the Dodgers last year, I asked them, what do you think of the Dodgers? What would it be like to play over there? You know? And every time he just said, you know what? I'm not thinking about the future. I'm just thinking about now and getting this team to the playoffs. And you know what? You can say whatever you want, but like he pitched his way to an injury for a team that was like four or five games out from the last wild card spot, you know? And
as he's about to hit his free agent period.
Yeah. Right? And like, yeah. Now keep in mind, like Max Scherzer, right? The Dodgers had experience with this a couple of years earlier, wouldn't pitch in the NLCS because he felt something because he was about to become a free agent, you know? That's kind of the right. And so, you know, I kind of looked at that and I was like, well, maybe that's all there is here. You know, maybe what you see is like what you get, right? At the same time, like common sense kind of tells you, I mean, how do you, you know, that said, like, how can you kind of have confidence in that this is what it is when we've never seen anybody like this? I mean, he is like a Japanese, the protagonist of a Japanese comic book. You know, we haven't seen anything else. I mean, again, you know, people talk about Japanese players being guarded and not very revealing and this and that. Trust me, this is a whole different level.
Yep.
I have gotten to know Japanese players. I do not know anything about this guy other than, again, that he seems to be really sharp. He's got a nice smile and he's really good at baseball. That's kind of it, you know. So, yeah, you know, I don't, you know, and that's to me kind of this underlying question here is like, who is Shohei Ohtani? Right. And it's going to be, this is actually going to be one of these weird cases where, you know, I think a lot of times like we know the guy and it kind of colors the way we view like an unfolding case. This is going to be the opposite. What we learn in this case is going to teach us about Shohei Ohtani. This is probably going to be the most revealing thing that, you know, outside of the field that he's ever done, because, you know, we're either going to learn actually he really, right, he really doesn't pay attention to anything outside of baseball and just allowed this money to get stolen from him, or, you know, maybe there is more there, and right, this guy's like a lot more Machiavellian than anybody could have imagined, right? You know, and so at this point, you know, it's kind of hard for me to sit here and speculate just because, again, I've been covering this guy for, you know, again, I 17 is last year in Japan. I went over there, visited with him. Even then, and I kind of came out of the thing thinking like, and I went into it thinking this guy can't possibly be this good. I walked out of it thinking like, maybe that's all there is there. I mean, cab drivers were kind of like saying the same, you know. Cab drivers in Japan were telling me all he talks about is baseball. Like I've given him rides and he's sitting in here with his teammates asking them like, when was the first home run you hit in Little League? You know, like stuff like that, right? Like he really just kind of sounded like a baseball loving kid. And so, yeah, again, we'll, you know, at this point, I know it's kind of hard, you know, to, you know, I wish I had answers right now. Certainly, you know, Major League Baseball wants to put this to bed. The Dodgers want to put this to bed, you know, but I think this is going to be one of those cases that's going to play out probably over years, you know, and as the information kind of comes out, it's going to inform us again, who is Ohtani?
Yeah, he's been an empty vessel, which I think I talked about in a recent episode, like, which does open himself up to many interpretations because we just don't know. So we just fill in the gaps ourselves. And believe me, I've had people fill in the gaps in very positive and very negative ways over the last few weeks or so. Because they just don't know. He couldn't just be that. He's got to be doing this. Or, of course, he didn't know because he did. You know, it's who he is. It's the persona he's created here and in Japan, right? And not just here and in Japan too. So it fuels a lot of discussion. It fuels a lot of mystery. He has only added to it, I think, the last few days. You know, with some clarification and. We'll just be talking about it over and over and over again. That's another single topic, north and south. We got to both go here. Well, I got to go. But Dylan, you attacked the American societal values and school system. I appreciate that. And apparently military strength. I'm not sure exactly how you did that.
I would argue military leads to economics. I get your point. But
yeah.
Let's not get ourselves into any more trouble.
Japan's got economic might and it's not very powerful militarily. But
no.
I referenced Putin. So, you know, I had my own detour there. But good to have you back in this country. Maybe you can get out to Seoul again and be sleepy, Dylan, one more time in the near future. But that was excellent. Good conversation. You got anything else to add here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just thought it was interesting, right? The Diamondbacks got Montgomery.
all the $25 million. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? These the other NL West teams, you know, we're talking about the Dodgers, but you know, Giants got their guy, you know. Yeah.
I got two guys, Chapman and Snell. I just put the Giants in the playoffs, which I think isn't that huge a thing to say, although in the Bay Area, given the fan negativity over the Giants, which may or may not be fair. I don't share the dramatic emotions of this, but I think they're a better team than they were last year, and they were not terrible last year. Can they get six or seven more wins? I think Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, Jung-Hoo Lee, Jorge Soler. And I was talking about this with Mike Kruko earlier today. I think the Dodgers, you know, we've talked about this. There's some problems on the Dodgers
roster. There are.
Absolutely. It's not a perfect roster. They just signed Will Smith to an extension. He's a great player. He's oft forgotten given their big names. He's going to probably bat fourth, right, in this power pack lineup. But I don't know who their third starter is. I don't know maybe even their second starter is if there's another, you know, guys don't come back in time. Mookie Betts, shortstop, we've talked about. I don't think the Giants are better than the Dodgers. I sure wouldn't say that. But Giants get in and play a five-game early round series against the Dodgers. I wouldn't, you know, and they've got Robbie Ray back, and they've got Alex Cobb pitching. They got Logan Webb. They got Blake Snell. Don't know if that's going to be a comfortable series for the Dodgers. So we can go on and on about that. Let's watch some games here. Let's not go on too long, but I thank you for offering another topic though, Dylan. We do get into other topics. This one, yeah. It's the North and South podcast. We do Ohtani and we do Harbaugh. So those are our two things. Harbaugh will right, give us something soon, I'm sure. All right, Dylan, I think that's it for today.
Okay, sounds good.
See you, everybody.